This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, it's now 7:47, Wednesday, the 23rd of November. Before we jump into the local business news, I'd like to mention that we are holding our final network series of the year tomorrow, and we'd love to meet you. So come hang out with us, the Morning Run crew. We want to meet you, talk to you, discuss what you think is going to be next year's landscape for the for markets and for the investment community. Julian, you're going to be there, Ibrahim as well, and Kusu Chuang. We want to hang out with you. Just it's an exclusive event. We don't have space for too many, and we're limiting it to the first 80 people who sign up.
So don't be left out. Go to bfm.my/community to sign up for this event.
Okay, jumping into news now. Today is Bank Negara's first policy meeting since Trump's win. And we've seen that within that time period, the ringgit has really been battered. It's shed more than 5% since Trump's victory. Yesterday, it hit a low of 4.43.
So many people expect that Bank Negara would leave rate unchanged because this would act as some kind of a cushion against a falling ringgit. In fact, ringgit is one of the worst performers since the Trump victory. If we look at some of the emerging market currencies like the Indonesian rupiah, that only fell about just slightly over 2%. The Filipino peso, that fell only 2%. And the Chinese yuan, pretty strong, falling only 1.5%. You juxtapose this with the movement of the ringgit, almost 5%, is one of the weakest.
So if you remember, I think it was back in July when Bank Negara surprised markets with a 25 basis point cut in the overnight, the OPR. So because of that, you know, I remember there were analysts commenting after that saying that perhaps Bank Negara has room to cut again before the end of the year. Now that we've seen what's happened to the ringgit, I think across the board, analysts are saying, look, there's no move now. Bank Negara cannot... there's no rate cut expected for this meeting simply because of the weak ringgit.
Which begs the conversation of BNM's continued intervention in the market and whether or not this will impact global confidence. Because according to the BlackRock Asset Management MD for North Asia, Stephen Muller, he says that while in the short term they can provide some stability in terms of the management of the ringgit and the local economy, but the long term can provide some sort of harm in terms of global confidence. And this comes on the back of the news that last Friday, BNM did confirm that it did intervene in the onshore market to stem the slide in ringgit, particularly on the clamping down of the trading of the NDF or non-deliverable forward market. It does show that the government, or at least Bank Negara, is intervening in the market, and this does not add that global confidence to Malaysian economy.
Well, Jules, we're going to be discussing this topic on the S&M show today, the managing of the volatility of the ringgit. Joining us on the show is Dr. Suresh Ramanathan, independent forex strategist. So make sure you catch that at 9:35 a.m. Felda Global Ventures, Berhad, in the news. It has been discovered that there was fraud committed in its 50% owned unit in Turkey, which has incurred stock losses of 57 million ringgit. This had contributed to FGV's net loss widening for the third quarter. It was about 34 million a year ago. Now it is coming up to 95 million. And all this bad news had taken a hit on FGV's shares. It plunged 11% at yesterday's close. If you look at the warrants, it was hit even harder.
So this is like Enron, right? We all remember Enron, and it starts with a small subsidiary somewhere. There's forging of signature, there's manipulation of stock numbers, and that's what happened.
Yeah, exactly. And the identified subsidiary was not mentioned by the FGV CEO, Dato Zakaria. Dato Zak, basically, is being called in the industry.
Oh, is that his nama glamour?
Dato Zak, okay. Yes. but it is believed that the fraud was discovered to be Felda IFCO Sdn Bhd and its unit Felda IFCO Gida Sinai Private Limited. And of course, Felda IFCO is a 50-50 JV or joint joint venture with the Dubai-based IFCO International. So this begs the question, how do they select their partners? What is going to be the relationship with the JV partner right now, considering that this fraud has been found out? And how this will impact future arrangements with future joint ventures, particularly with companies that do have cash, like companies from China and also from the Middle East?
Yeah, and how much oversight they have over that, right? Because sometimes, you know, when it's far away, you may not be aware what's happening if it's not right at your front door. I think that's a question of governance and oversight that FGV has to address as well.
But I think that FGV being such a big GLC, it's a meaningful institution to the people of Malaysia. I don't think is the magnitude of the money that's involved, because this is about 50 to 60 million. But the fact that this kind of practices exist is cause for concern.
In a related development, it was also reported yesterday that Felda, which is a related entity under the same group, but it's separate from FGV. So Felda, the Federal Land Development Authority, had actually lost millions of ringgit due to poor planning and execution of projects.
Yes, and some of this was mentioned in the Auditor General's report that we saw tabled in the Parliament yesterday. Some of the companies include Bumi Touch, Sendirian Berhad, where a full payment of 40 million ringgit for some of the contracts, over 50 contracts, were made, although the deliverable of the LIDA project, or the providing the light detection project, was not fully received.
And, you know, another company that deals with sturgeon farming. I mean, how does that fit into the overall corporate strategy of FGV, right? I mean, your plantation business is huge, and then you go and make these weird investments into sturgeon farming. That's caviar, right?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and they have spent that money but have yet to receive a lot of technology transfer, and a lot of the objectives were not met.
Yeah, so we're just touching two of the many other companies that was mentioned in the auditor's report that is consistent with Felda, not FGV, but Felda per se. But it just highlights the bigger problem. Felda and FGV is under a lot of scrutiny, particularly when the FGV CEO Ratu Zek, he did say that one of his core thrust on taking up the mantle of the leadership at FGV is to improve on corporate governance. Like I said earlier, this he may not have created the problems, but he is inheriting them. And the question now is, what is the clear plan on solving these corporate lapses?
Moving on, Hong Leong Bank's net profit for the first quarter rose 8% to 542 million ringgit. They say the increase in pre-tax profit was mainly because of higher total income and lower allowance for impairment on loans. However, that was offset by higher operating expenses.
I think this is interesting because Hong Leong is not the biggest bank in Malaysia, and they managed to managed to grow about 8%. And interestingly, at about half a billion ringgit, that's just half of CIMB's latest quarterly numbers, and CIMB is one of the biggest banks in Malaysia.
What struck me by surprise is that this is the third bank announcing their earnings that showed lower allowance for impairment on loans. First, we saw CIMB saying that the significant raise in terms of their earnings is because of low impairment, particularly for the consumer banking division. MBank has come out and said that there were lower impairment on loans, and now Hong Leong Bank saying that there are lower impairment on loans. This does show that Malaysians, at least some in the consumer sector, is paying up their loans on time. It does also show that the economy in terms of bad debt is actually being managed accordingly. So,
well, Not necessarily, because these provisions for loan impairments, the timing of it may not be exactly. So this could be as a result of over-provision in previous quarters or the previous years, looking ahead by banks to just make that provision. But also, I mean, talking about the biggest banks in Malaysia, Maybank is challenging CIMB's position as the top Sukuk arranger.
Yeah.
So CIMB is at risk of losing that position.
It has been at the top for 9 years now. And Maybank is trying to knock them off the leaderboard. Well, moving on to global news, we've got some news that J.K. Rowling's digital publishing company called Pottermore expects to turn a profit in its current fiscal year. Now, this was boosted by rising sales of audiobooks and new ebooks that build on the Harry Potter franchise, which I might add is almost 20 years old now.
Wow, time flies.
Two decades, guys. And Harry Potter's a big boy now.
Did you guys watch the recent movie?
I did.
Fantastic Beasts and... I forget the
Where
title.
Where to Find Them.
Yeah, too long.
Okay.
The title is too long.
Okay.
But it was good.
No spoilers.
Right?
No spoilers. Newsreader is putting her hands over her ears now.
So this is the rise of the ebook rights, and particularly when Pottermore was initially launched as a virtual world, people can just play the supplementary characters within the Harry Potter universe. But when they launched their ebook section that sells the entire series of books, it gives you an identity or a semblance that perhaps this is a bigger business model that they can leverage on. And of course, you know, with Forbes 2016 putting the net worth of J.K. Rowling at $1 billion, it kind of shows that perhaps this is where the new money is going to be, not just in paper books, but also in ebooks.
Well, speaking about tech, China's Meitu Inc. is talking to Value, its company. This is the developer of the selfie app, right, Ibrahim?
Yes, it is. It makes you prettier on selfie. And
Right for me.
For you, Melissa, you wouldn't need this kind of app because, yeah, there you go.
Okay.
But for the many of us, millions of us that don't look good, particularly with front-facing camera, this app intends to just make your face nicer. And this particular app is all the rage in North Asia.
Are they going to list?
Yeah. Well, they're talking about listing. And get this, this simple app is valued about $5 billion.
Wow. All right, guys. Coming up, we've got the Breakfast Grill after the 8 o'clock news. Julian, you're going to be speaking to Abdul Razak Muhammad Kadir, the Chief Operating Officer of Post Al Ranu. Very interesting. They are in pawnbroking and gold selling services?
That's right. They sell, they have two services. One is a pawnbroking, but pawnbroking only limited to gold, but they also sell gold in various denominations. So if you have 50 ringgit, 100 ringgit, you can go up there and buy their coins or gold wafers. Also, I'm going to talk to him about his personal views on the direction of gold, which of course is a hedge for the ringgit. And we're going to seek his view for that.
All right. Looking forward to it. That's after the 8 o'clock news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.